Hello and welcome back to the Yellow Pod. As always, I'm your host, Adri P. And if you're new here, thank you so much for stopping by. And if you're a returning listener, what is up? And I appreciate you coming back to hang out with me again. Today's episode is going to be a little bit more on the heavy side. It is September, which is National Suicide Awareness Month. So yeah, it's going to be a little bit heavy. It's going to be heavy today. This is the moment where I am going to put a trigger warning on this episode. I will be talking a lot about suicide, suicidal ideation, suicidal tendencies, a lot of different things revolving suicide, depression, anxiety. So this is your chance right now. Please, please, please respect yourself, respect your body, respect your soul. If that is something that you cannot listen to on your own or it will be triggering for you, please just skip this episode. Don't even listen to it. I will not be offended. If you feel like you still want to listen to it, maybe send it to a friend or someone you trust who can listen to it first. Or maybe you guys can listen to it together, have some support with you. Just please, please, please be smart about listening to this episode. Thank you so much. The whole reason I originally started this podcast is because I wanted to share my experience with depression, anxiety, suicide, suicidal tendencies, suicidal ideation, making a plan to take myself out of this world. That was my whole reason for starting this podcast, is because I wanted to start conversations and hopefully people would listen to the episodes and then turn around and to their family or their friends or their inner circle, whoever is close to them, to start having conversations to break down the walls and the stigmas we have surrounding mental health and surrounding suicide and depression and all of these things that as a society we're kind of just like hush hush about. Because we avoid talking about these things as a society, it's very dangerous. I remember the first time I ever felt like hopeless, worthless, depressed. I was depressed and I didn't know what I was because there wasn't really talk about it. I was a sophomore in high school and I just remember feeling sad all the time. And I was like, am I just like this dark little gray cloud that just brings sadness down on everyone around me? And it was so confusing to me because I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, realistically, I shouldn't feel like this. I'm on the POM team. I do a lot of extracurricular activities. I'm in student council. I have good grades. I have a privileged life. Like, I had food on the table. I had a car. There was nothing inherently wrong with my life, but I felt this feeling of worthlessness and sadness, like deep, deep sadness. And I remember this summer in between my sophomore year and my junior year of high school, that's when things got really bad. And I don't, like, that's kind of the start of it all. And I don't know how or why or what. There's probably numerous things if I could go back in time and be like, oh, that. And the thing is, I can remember my brain getting so dark and I was terrified. I was so terrified. I was like, holy shit. Like, I didn't know my brain could put me in this spot. And I was terrified to tell anyone. I was so scared to open up to anyone about how sad I was because I was looked at as a person who's fun, outgoing, very extroverted, and joking around all the time, was friends with everyone. I didn't have like a set friend group. I was friendly with everybody. I was always talking with all the teachers. I was always up in the office hanging out with the office ladies. I was just a person who liked to interact with people, and I wasn't, I guess, stereotypically like a sad person on the outside to people looking in, whereas on the inside within myself it felt like a fucking thunderstorm, like just crazy ass rain and just downpouring within myself. One night I did open up to a friend at the time about how sad I was feeling, and this friend told me that I should probably find Jesus and that would fix all of my problems. And I was like, oh, that's crazy. And this friend did happen to be Mormon. And I was like, yeah, not really my thing. Thank you, though. And so then I was back to this feeling of like, what the fuck? Like, No one else understands what I'm going through. No one, like, I mean, granted, I've only told one person, but it seems like everyone else is fine. No one's talking about this. Like, what is going on within myself? What is so wrong with myself? And I began to kind of, I guess, gaslight myself into thinking that I was just being dramatic about things in my life that could be making me sad and just holding on to them to really make myself sad. And by doing that, by gaslighting myself, it created a lot of distrust within myself. I could not trust my own feelings. And still to this day, I am learning how to trust myself. Whatever feeling arises, that is usually the correct feeling. And it is a feeling that is valid. But to this day, I can't trust myself when any sort of anger, sadness, happiness, jealousy, anything arises. I'm like, nah, Adri, you're doing it again. You're doing it again. You're doing too much. And because we don't talk about it enough, that is what all of this is. It's creating all of this. It's creating a very dangerous game. At my high school, there were numerous people starting my senior year up until, like, to this day, numerous kids take their lives at that high school. And I don't know if it's something about that high school or what it is. It's just, clearly, we are not talking about it enough. There was no talk about depression and anxiety and suicide and things like that when I started feeling that way. So I turned to things like Instagram. Instagram had just been born, and I was looking at it, like searching kind of like sad things, just trying to find someone else who is also experiencing the same thing I'm feeling and like also thinking, and just this feeling of hopelessness. And hopefully someone else out there is going through it and they're talking about it. So then I could be like, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one. However, by doing this, I came across a lot of things and accounts that almost romanticized suicide and being depressed. And just, it was a very dark place. Very, very dark place. Not something I would ever recommend anyone finding ever again. And because of the lack of conversation about it in real life, I turned to the online world, and the online world is terrifying. And I think when I found these accounts, it almost made me more sad because I saw them and I was like, okay, well, I'm not sad enough. I'm not to the point where they are, but maybe there's like something, like, it just kind of, it basically just made me feel 10 times worse than I already felt. It did not help me feel any sort of relatability or like, oh my gosh, that person's going through it too. They're going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. None of that happened. I was scared. I got more scared because it seemed more dark than what I was already feeling. And I was constantly trying to figure out why I felt this way. Soon, all of these feelings of hopelessness and things like that turned into me thinking that no one likes having me around because I'm so sad, even though I hadn't told anyone that I was sad, and I never really like acted like I was sad around other people. I did a very good job at hiding it. I was very, very good at hiding it. But it made me feel like no one wanted me around. People, like, if I didn't get invited to something and it could have been for any reason, I automatically thought the worst. And I was like, it's because they don't like you, Adri. Like, you're annoying. You're sad. You're too much. You're too much of this. You're that. You're this. Like, it then created this little monster inside of Adri that made me feel like I wasn't wanted anywhere. So there's really no reason for me to be here. So now here we are. We're like, I'm about a year or so out of high school at this point where I feel like no one wants me around. There's no point for me to be here. And what tipped me off to make me try to take my life for the first time ever is my pageant director got upset about a Facebook post that I had made in regards to how beautiful I felt without any makeup, and how lately I have been struggling with being sad and things like that. And at the time, I don't think I ever referred to it as depression. I was just like, I feel hopeless. I feel worthless. And in the sense of like not wearing makeup and feeling beautiful still, like I found a little bit of light in that. And I shared this post on Facebook. And at the time I was a national pageant title holder, and she blew up about this post, pissed off, immediately just fucking pissed that I shared like real life things on Facebook with an audience who follows me and who friends me because I am a pageant title holder. And her words to me in a Facebook message said, "No one wants to look up to a queen who is sad." And I think those exact words is just what like, bink, just flicked me over the edge. At the time, I was already feeling like no one wants me around because I'm sad. No one wants to be around a person who is just a little dark cloud. And then I share something on Facebook trying to help other people kind of like see like, oh, you don't need makeup to be beautiful. At the time, I think like Alicia Keys and like a bunch of other celebrities were doing this whole like natural beauty is the best beauty type of thing. And I was right along lines following them, trying to like spread the positivity and things like that. And for my pageant director to just turn around and be like, no one is going to look up to you because you're sad. No one is going to support you because you're sad. No one wants to know these things. They want to see a smiling person on social media. They want to see happy. They want to see rainbows and butterflies and nothing real. And I was like, wow. No one really, realistically, no one wants me here, even as a pageant queen, because I'm sad. No one wants me here. That's it. That's good enough reasoning for me. You just solidified what I was thinking in my brain. And I still remember this day that I can see all of it in my brain crystal clear. I was at my grandparents' house. They had let me live there, and I was the only one there. There were also like other things that I'm not going to talk about on this episode that had happened prior to this. And I was just at the darkest of dark, the lowest of lows. And then that Facebook post, and I just remember reading all of her messages in my phone, setting my phone down on the counter and just bawling my eyes out. So uncontrollably sobbing because I was frustrated that I felt this way and that my brain was making me think these things. And then I was frustrated that I even thought it was okay that I could post that on social media. And I was like, you know what? She's right. No one wants a sad queen. No one wants someone who like has all these issues and things like that. And it just felt like just so much. And I remember sitting there crying, and I went and I grabbed some medicine. And I don't even remember the name of the medicine. It was something for my migraines. It was like a pretty strong something that kind of helped with whenever I got like a really bad migraine, I had to take one. And I was looking at it and I was like, literally in my brain, it was like, how many of these would I have to take to just not exist anymore? And I dumped them out in my hand and I'm looking at them and I'm like playing with like, not playing with, I'm just like feeling all the pills in my hand and I'm sobbing because I'm so sad that my brain is telling me to do this and I'm wanting to. I don't want to be here and I'm wanting to, and I'm looking at these pills in my hand and I'm like crying and I'm like, is anyone going to find me? My grandparents are on a road trip. No one's home. I don't know when my aunt's going to come over the next time because no one's here to watch her kids. The only time she would be coming over is for someone to watch her kids. When is someone going to try to call me or text me the next time and I'm not going to answer? How long is it going to be for them to come like check on me if I'm not answering? Like what, like how am I going to survive if I take these, or am I going to die immediately? How long is it like? And the thing that saved me that night is my aunt called me because my little cousin wanted me to have a sleepover, and she called me and I picked up. For whatever reason, I picked up. It's probably because I truly did not actually want to die. I did not want to kill myself. And I picked up, and it was my little cousin on the other line, and she's like, "Nina, when are we having a sleepover?" And I was like, "Oh, we can right now. We can right now." And I put the pills back in the thing, closed it up, and that was it. I went over to my aunt's house, never said anything to her until a couple days later, and I told her that I was very sad and that I got a tattoo of Maylee's birth flower because she saved my life the first time that I was almost about to take my life. And my aunt was like, well, why are you so sad? What are you sad for? You have nothing to be sad about. And I was like, I don't know. I'm just sad. And then I started crying and then I couldn't explain myself. And then I was like, here we go again. Those thoughts came back in and it was like, Adri, are you really sad for anything? You can't even tell someone what you're sad about and why you just tried to kill yourself. You can't even explain that to someone. So is it actually even real? Now, it took a whole another almost year and a half for me to even start seeing a therapist and getting on medications and trying to figure this out. And I tried again, had a plan in line and everything a couple more times, two more times. And again, I didn't want to die. I truly didn't want to die. When I look back at every single moment, I was stalling. I was waiting. I was truly waiting for someone to stop me. The first time, I was looking at the pills, thinking of all these things, having a conversation in my brain. The phone rings. I answer it. Little cousin stopped it. The next time, same thing. Got a text message. Looked at it. It was a friend who needed something. Stopped it. Every single time I was about to do something to make a very serious, committed thing, I didn't want to do it. I truly did not want to. I just wanted to be done suffering inside my brain. And when I think about like the people that I've heard about who are close to me that have taken their own lives, or just even like I'll come across a TikTok every now and then of like a widowed mother grieving her husband who took his life or vice versa, I get so sad because I remember how low I was feeling and I couldn't even get myself to go through with it all the way. I wanted someone to stop me. And I wonder if all of those people who actually went through with it and were successful, if they wanted the same thing, if they were just hoping someone would come home and stop them, or if they were hoping someone would call them and they would answer it, if they were just hoping for someone somewhere to give them one more chance to not go through with it. And it really hurts because I was there, almost doing the thing that was a permanent action to a temporary situation. And luckily, I was stopped every single time. You can also find interviews and things of people. There's a YouTube video of survivors who like tried to commit suicide by jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. And they will tell you, the second they leave the bridge, they wish that they had never done it. The second they're free falling, they're like, fuck, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I would have just called someone. I wish I would have just talked to someone. And this is the whole thing. The whole thing is the lack of conversation around mental health, around suicide, around suicidal thoughts, and being taken seriously and being listened to and being supported. It all goes back to this, because those people who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge and they survived, they will tell you, I didn't want to die. I didn't want to die. I just wanted help. Me, I was stopped and I didn't want to die. When I was looking at the thing that I was about to do, I did not want to do it, but my brain and everything was fighting with myself and I just wanted relief. I just wanted relief. I wanted to be held. I wanted to be listened to. I wanted all of the things that I was holding in because there was a lack of conversation around it to just be released from my body so I didn't have to hold on to it anymore. I think there's also a lot of pride around not going to therapy and things like that for whatever reason. You're not better than anyone if you're not going to therapy. You're kind of... I think that's a little weird if you think you're better than other people for not going to therapy. Therapy is there to help you, to give you tools to navigate difficult life situations when they arise. I had a professor in my undergrad who put it in the best way. You don't go to the dentist once your mouth is bleeding and you can't even talk and you can't sleep at night because your tooth is hurting so bad. You go to the dentist usually twice a year for a checkup and like a cleaning and things like that. You take care of your teeth. You don't wait until they're rotting out of your head. So why aren't we treating mental health the same exact way? It takes a lot of people usually will wait until they are in their lowest and they're about to do something to themselves or to other people in order to see someone. Instead, we should be treating our mental health as like how we treat our teeth. We should be going to routine checkups, making sure we're good, getting the tools that we need to prevent worse things happening down the road. Like, going to therapy does not mean you're broken and you're unfixable. It means you are taking the steps to protect yourself from your own mental everything. The brain is a complex fucking thing. That thing can be a bitch sometimes. Going to therapy regularly does not mean you have a shit ton of issues to work out. You are just being a healthy human and keeping your mental well-being in check. I remember talking to people, like, once I started like opening up about suicidal tendencies and ideation and like my plans that I put in place to take myself out and like how bad my depression was, a lot of people get like a little weird, which is fine because it's a heavy thing to talk about and it's uncomfortable. No one wants to talk about it, but talking about it helps more than you think. And talking about it to someone who truly will listen, and they don't have to completely internalize everything and take it away from you. If you can chat with someone and you can sit down and lay everything out, lay all your cards out on the table, and they're willing to let you talk and they're willing to listen and they are willing to offer support when you need it, you will feel so much lighter, like so much lighter. I used to date someone who absolutely hated that I was depressed and that I suffered with depression, anxiety. I was diagnosed with major depression and she hated it. She never wanted to talk about it. Anytime I was feeling like having like a low day, she wanted nothing to do with it. She was like, please, no, I this is like, she was uncomfortable and also just didn't like that I needed extra support from her, which I get, I guess. It can be a lot, I understand. But if you're dating someone and you are like committing to dating them and you're exclusively dating them, in my brain at least, you would want to learn how to help them. And that never happened in this relationship. And I do think that that made everything worse. Because the last time I tried to take my own life, I was not hoping for someone to come in. I was not hoping for someone to stop me. And that was the lowest of the lows. I was stopped because they got into the girl that I was dating and her friend got into the room that I was in and stopped me. And they said when they got in there, I was writing a note. I had no intentions of being stopped. I was going. I was like, this is it. I'm fucking done being here. This is bullshit. And I just wanted all of my suffering and everything to end, because at that point I had been dealing with that and depression and the feeling of hopelessness and worthlessness and not talking about it with anyone and nothing's getting fixed. I'm not seeing any changes. I had been dealing with that since I was in between my sophomore and junior year of high school. And then at this point in time, it was 2019. When it was the summer between my sophomore year and junior year of high school, that was like 2013. I had been dealing with this for like 5 to 6 years, just a continual like loop of hopelessness, worthlessness. No one wants me around. I'm too sad. I'm too much. And then to start dating someone who completely disregards any type of commitment on their end to offer you support, that can truly fuck up a person. And I'm not saying when you're in a relationship and you are struggling with your mental health that it is the other person's obligation to learn how to take care of you and learn how to support you. That is not what I'm saying at all. You as an individual, you are responsible for learning your triggers, learning how someone can support you, and learning what you need to do to help them help you. It is just as much work as it is for you, and also a little bit of work from them. Had me and this person had a conversation about my mental health, and what all I needed from her realistically was just for her to listen to me complain about a couple things really fast, just so it feels like less on my plate. And that wasn't a thing that she wanted to do. Had I had more respect for myself, I would have taken myself out of that relationship long before it got to the point that it got to. However, I didn't. You know, you live and you learn. People are in your life for a reason, and that one was a lesson of everything that I do not want. And I think people depend on other people for their happiness, and that when you're struggling mentally, you can't put that pressure on someone else in a relationship. You can ask for help, you can ask for support, but they cannot fix you. They can't fix you. They can't. But you can. You can take yourself and hold yourself in your hands, and you can look at yourself with so much love that you look at other people for, and you can give yourself the happiness that you want and the love and respect that you need in that relationship. Had I had enough like love for myself and care for myself, I truly would have removed myself from that relationship a while ago, like a long time ago. And I'm talking about this mental health with relationships because I did get a message on my Instagram recently, and someone was asking like how I navigate like dating and being in long-term relationships with my mental health. And the thing is, it's all back to conversations. You have a conversation with your person on how they can help you, what you need when you're at your low, what you kind of expect from your partner. And that is a conversation that should be collaborative, and you should both feel happy and okay with what you come up with in the end. You can successfully date if you are in a relationship where it is okay to talk about the hard things. And in my opinion, if you are in a relationship and you can't talk about the hard things, I don't really think that's the person for you. But, you know, to each their own. But the biggest thing is communicating, having conversations, talking about things, being able to express how you're feeling unapologetically and just completely transparent and just laying all of it out there. Having conversations helps so much, and it helps prevent worse things happening in the end. If you or anyone you know is struggling right now, please, please just reach out to someone, start talking to someone. And you don't even have to talk to like a therapist. You could talk to someone you trust, just as long as ensure that they can handle it, because they might be going through their own battles that they're not telling you about. And you don't want to dump all of your battles onto them if they're in their own war zone right now. Find a trusted person that thinks that they can open up and listen to hard things and talk. Just have a conversation. Just get it all out there. Empty it out. And if you can't find someone to talk to, you don't have someone you can turn to and trust, or you don't want to start therapy yet, you don't want to go dump all of your problems on this stranger, journal. Start journaling. Your journal, you can talk to yourself in your journal, and you can be as open and raw and as honest as you want in that journal. But please, 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 if you are at the point where you feel you may hurt yourself, you may hurt other people, please contact someone and please stop it before it happens. Because I was there 4 different times, and 3 out of the 4 times, I wanted someone to stop me. I wanted someone to save me, and I did not want my life to end. I just wanted the suffering and all of the heaviness to go away. Do not make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Because now, looking back at all of the things that created all of my tries, they don't bother me anymore. They truly don't. It's been years, and I'm like, damn, Adri, that was really bothering you. Like, I'm sorry that that was bothering you at that time, and that was very important to you to the point where it was bothering you, but it doesn't even matter to me. It's not something that I'm still holding on to with resentment. Don't forget, depression, anxiety, suicide, suicidal thoughts, all of those things, people are very good at hiding. People can be very good at hiding. Just because someone to you seems like a very outgoing, happy-go-lucky person does not mean that they are fighting some crazy-ass battles on the inside. Lead with empathy and an open heart, and be smart about your interactions with people. So often, I encounter these people that are just like, they love to project their unhappiness and their discomfort with themselves onto other people. And that's dangerous. And all that could fix that is just them talking to someone, them opening up about things that are bothering them. It's usually people who are the meanest that need the most love. So go out into the world with an open heart and be nice to the people around you. Check in on your friends, check in on yourself. Offer support where you can. And if you need support, reach out. You can reach out to me on my Instagram, TikTok, whatever. But that's it. Sorry it was such a heavy, long podcast episode, but I've dealt with all of these things, and I've been in the rut and down in the freaking dumps and the lowest of my lows, and I don't want other people to be there. So please talk to someone. Please chat with your friends. And with that, that's pretty much it. That's all that this episode is going to be today. Don't forget, I am taking write-in submissions. I am collecting them before I do a kind of like audience type of episode, like your write-in submissions before I start bringing them up. I want to collect a little bit more. Please send them over to my email, AdriannaPollock12@gmail.com. I will put that in the show notes. Share this with someone. Please put a trigger warning on it if you're sharing it with anyone or if you're posting it on Instagram, because this is hard, heavy things that not everyone is in the right mindset to listen to, and it could be very triggering for some people. As always, I am your host, Adri P. And if you're a new listener, thank you so much for stopping by and hanging out with us today. If you're a returning listener, I appreciate the heck out of you. And I will see you all next week. Later, skaters.